God be in our mouths and in our speaking. God be in our ears and in our hearing. God be in our heads and in our understanding. Amen. Truth can break the gates down. Truth can howl in the street. Unless truth is pleasing, personable, and easy to like, she's condemned to stay whimpering at the back door. Thomas Cromwell, in Hilary Mantel's novel Bring Up the Bodies. If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow me. Jesus, in today's gospel. Sometimes the truth is so unpopular that it's hard to look it in the face. And sometimes the truth hurts. I mean, really hurts. But it's the truth that will make us free, isn't it? In John's gospel, it's at this equivalent point when Jesus has foretold his own death that the gospel writer has him say, "If you continue in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free." I don't know if you've been watching the television adaptation of Wolf Hall, which includes the eponymous novel and its sequel, Bring Up the Bodies. But in the quite mesmerising performance by Mark Rylance, you can see in his portrayal of Hilary Mantel's Thomas Cromwell a man struggling with the truth. The struggle is etched in the lines of his face, a face which hardly seems to move and yet literally bears the weight of history. At the very end of the final episode, as he's embraced by Henry VIII, congratulating Cromwell for ridding him of Anne Boleyn, who we've just seen being beheaded, we see Rylance's Cromwell over Henry's shoulder, and even as he's being given a huge hug, in his unsmiling face is the knowledge that he too might not have so long before his fate is sealed in a similar way. He seems to see his own end. Sticking to his version of the truth isn't going to make him free. When to speak out and when to keep your counsel. When it becomes so overwhelmingly important to speak the truth to power. It's a fascinating coincidence that as the church walks the way of the cross in Lent, it coincides with the lead-up to a general election, which will take place only a month after Easter. And lots of people are trying to convince the electorate of their particular take on truth. Along the way, statistics are quoted, often out of context. The past is looked at through spectacles of assorted, colourful hues. The future is anticipated with varying degrees of realism. And we're all left looking for some help, some guidance, some sort of datum line against which we can judge the claims and counterclaims. Press release, Church House, February the 17th, 2015. The House of Bishops of the Church of England have today expressed a hope for political parties to discern, quotes, a fresh moral vision of the kind of country we want to be ahead of the general election in May of this year. In a pastoral letter from the House of Bishops to the people and parishes of the Church of England, the bishops urge Christians to consider the question, how can we build the kind of society which many people say they want, but which is not yet being expressed in the vision of any of the parties. The bishop's pastoral letter is a big document, 50 plus pages, and it demands time to read and to take in. Within hours of its publication, politicians were being quick to condemn and to see what they wanted to see. The reaction to the letter tells us a great deal about the flaws in our current system. I'm not going to name names, but one prominent member of the House of Lords waspishly commented that, "I fear they," the bishops, "forget that the Good Samaritan didn't walk down the DHSS and say there's a chap lying in the gutter, somebody ought to do something about it, and then go on home. He went and picked the poor devil up and took him to the inn and said to the innkeeper, 'I will pay the bill.'" I fear that particular noble lord hadn't actually read the whole document, which includes this. Religious traditions like the Christian faith try to be repositories of virtue, ways for people to learn who they are, how they relate to each other, and how they deal with difference and disagreement. The religious life is not just grounded on belief in God, it is grounded in practices of prayer and service, through which people learn to reflect on the deep nature of themselves, others, and the world at large under God, and work together for greater human flourishing. The bishops, quite rightly, weren't using the document as an opportunity to trumpet what the church is doing on the ground, day after day, to pay the bill, to be with those in greatest need. And I'd thoroughly recommend any politician quick to criticise the bishops to spend a day at, say, the Connection at St Martin in the Fields and see the church picking poor devils up, feeding them, and, yes, paying some bills. And that work is happening in towns and cities all over the country on a daily basis. No lectures required, thank you very much. For the most part, the bishop's letter is a thoughtful and a challenging letter to the church as well as to the wider society, and well worth anyone's time. But back to today's gospel, and also to Thomas Cromwell. Truth. What is truth? Is it something malleable, merely a mobile army of metaphors, metonyms, and anthropomorphisms, as Nietzsche famously and almost unpronounceably put it? The philosophies of contemporary postmodernism would certainly like us to believe that. Is it, as Hilary Mantel has Cromwell tell us, condemned to stay whimpering at the back door unless it is something pleasing, personable, and easy to like? Or is it something that makes demands, sacrifices even, but is ultimately the essential goal, the way, the truth, and the life? Jesus told the disciples the truth, and Peter took him aside and rebuked him. Jesus was the truth. And, as we'll be hearing in only a few weeks' time, Pontius Pilate washed his hands of him. "What is truth?" he said, unable to recognize it as it stood before him. We have beheld his truth, and it will set us free if we let it. The bishops frame their letter with words from Paul's epistle to the Philippians. Whatever is true, whatever is honourable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, and if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Amen.